God bless you, Dan Day, for including the Miami Marlins in the update, because I will admit, right up until you mention a Marlins score and a Marlins game coming up, I forgot that we were still in Major League Baseball season, because my local team are the Marlins. That's number one. And then number two, I'm thinking about Dolphins preseason tonight. And also, Dan, if I sound, you know, a little fuzzy when we're both on postgame together tonight, it's because I'm going to be flipping back and forth between the Dolphins Buccaneers preseason game and Milton High School against American Heritage on ESPN, because my guy Luke Nickel, Miami Hurricanes committed quarterback, who's the quarterback for Milton High School, he's going to be playing on national TV tonight against local powerhouse American Heritage. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to be my attention will be divided tonight, let's just say. And then you mentioned my Canes are 8 days away from opening up their season. So it is football season for me right now. It is no longer baseball season. I don't care if they play till October. I am in football-only mode at this point, and nothing can stop that.
Yeah, I'm a little Max Meyer mania, but yeah, I started giving up on the Marlins, and I think they lost the first seven games of the season, and then they traded Luis Arraez, the two-time batting champion, back-to-back, and then they had the fire sale. Nonetheless, I guess I'm a, you know, glutton for punishment. I'm going to keep, you know, following the Marlins, but it is cool that, is it Luke Nickel?
Luke Nickel.
Yeah, that he's going to be playing tonight on national TV. Of course, you know, we love to see our guys. And I know some people say, I don't care about recruits. I do. So I am going to definitely be waiting to hear your report. As we do the post game, it's going to start sharp at 10:30 tonight. Come hell or high water. We're doing 10:30 tonight till possibly 12:30, 1 o'clock. Maybe if you
just
want
to. Just so you know, I'm clocking out at 12:30. You can stay on as long as you want. Clocking out at 12:30.
Come on, man. It's game three of the preseason. Game three of the preseason. Dolphins.
You're talking yourself into that being a thing now, aren't you?
It's important to me, man. I'm very excited.
It is. It is. In all seriousness, it is important because roster spots are going to be decided. Starting jobs, a few of them could potentially be decided. And obviously that doesn't all hinge on just one preseason game. But this is these guys' last chance to go out on TV and ball in front of, you know, maybe millions. I don't know how many people watch preseason games. Probably millions of people will be watching in some way, shape, or form tonight. So go out there and get it done. It's their final opportunity to make a stamp on this roster.
Yeah, and that really is one of those things. Some of these guys, it's probably the biggest game of their career. But at the same time, it is important, like, to see what's going to be happening. And I know nowadays preseason games aren't the same because it's kind of more of the joint practices and the preseason game. But here's one thing I will tell you about the whole preseason training camp thing. You cannot simulate game speed. So I think a little bit of his loss when saying, oh no, it's all about the joint practice. You still cannot simulate that. So I am very excited about this. When I say very excited as you can get for a preseason game, I am very excited to see who's going to ball out, who's going to possibly make a spot on the team, and, you know, just kind of see how everything goes, because I feel as though it's a small glimpse. It's not a full glimpse, but a small glimpse into kind of what your team's going to be doing.
You know what I'd like to get a small glimpse of? I'd like to step into that day spa, if you will.
You know, we can always step into the day spa. I always got a little something for you real quick. Let's go ahead.
That music. That music is haunting in a good way.
A New York couple threw an extravagant wedding at St. Patrick's Cathedral and spared no expense except to go to the wedding. You had to buy a $333 ticket.
What?
Yeah.
Dude, so basically they you had to pay your own way? Like, how much money did the couple actually spend? They probably made most of it back in the ticket sales.
I know, man.
Ridiculous.
That's not an open bar when you're paying
$330 to get in. Paying $330 for this? I would have gotten so wasted just to try to get my money's worth.
I don't know if you can drink or eat $333 worth, but, I mean, there you go, man. Is it worth it? If I have to pay anything for a wedding amount, I'm gone.
I mean, like, you know, my wedding was a destination wedding, so it is like, you know, that comes at a price, like, but I think it's different, like, to pay to the travel. We didn't force anybody to come. I guess like our parents and stuff had to come, but you know, I think the idea of, like, even if you have to pay for the travel to go somewhere, that's understood.
Yeah, it's a
but
trip.
To actually have to pay a $330 cover charge
just
to go to a wedding?
No. Now, you know what I can do with that $330? Goodness. That's the thing. I don't know. Not for me. Not for me. But, you know, that's what goes. You know, when I go to a wedding.
And anything, like, are the couple, are they like wealthy? Are they well known? Or are they just kind of anonymous people?
They're just kind of doing their thing, you know, in New York. They want St. Patrick's Cathedral, and they wanted, you know, some.
Wow.
They wanted a wedding experience. So there you go.
Sheesh.
I mean, what type of gifts? You can't be getting any gifts from that. I mean, if you're paying $330.
No, my gift is my cover charge. I'm paying $330 to watch you get married. That's my gift.
I mean, think about it. If you and your significant other go, that's $666 just to get into the wedding.
Yeah.
No way. But once again, your reception is directly affecting the gift that you get. If you have a terrible reception with no dancing, no drinks, no food, I'm not going, number one. But you're also not getting a gift. But if you have a ballin' reception and wedding, and it's like, yo, you want to throw it out there with the wet bar and all types of hors d'oeuvres and snacks, you might get a better gift. No, you will get a better gift.
True.
It's really true.
You know, the other thing that grinds my gears, not directly related to this story, but kind of. So I went to a wedding years ago with my wife for a friend of hers. And, you know, we bought them a nice gift. It was a very expensive, whatever we got them, something off their registry. Within a year, they're divorced.
Yeah, well.
It's like, I really felt like, you know, I don't know, like should I ask for the china back or whatever it was that we sent them? Like, it's like, really, you couldn't keep it together for more than a year?
Nah,
really?
Nah, that's the price you pay. I figure, you know what, they're better off. They're okay. Once you give the gift, I try not to think about anything else like that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know.
Nah, that's why I just give cash. I give an envelope with.
Oh, that is not, you know, I really wanted to receive more cash. Like when my wife and I got married, like she really wanted all this stuff from the registry, mm-hmm. which included sets of plates and glasses that I don't think we've used once.
Never.
Like, I guess it's just one of those things where, we got to have the fine china set. We're never going to, we got to have it. I'm like, why can't people just give us cash? Like, how much better would that be? But she was not about that.
Yeah, like, next birthday, let me know. And you get all your gifts, and I'm going to give you an envelope with a piece of paper wrapped around, like, $40 or $60 because, you know, I don't want people seeing what's in an envelope and stealing it. And you're going to look at it like everyone does. They do the same thing every time. Huh? And they have that look like, how ungrateful. And then it starts dawning on them. They can do whatever they want with that money.
Exactly.
And they're like,
anything.
Oh, and I've given it to like my godchildren and stuff. And they're like, even little kids, it dawns on them like, wow.
My son, my 6-year-old, when he's got birthdays and Christmas, all he wants is cash.
That's good.
Like my the grandparents are going to insist on like giving him t-shirts and stuff he's going to hate, but all he wants is cash. And he doesn't even want to spend it. He just likes the cash.
Yeah. No, I'm that type of person. Like, you tell me, Dan, I can give you a $75 gift card to Duffy's, or I can give you a $50 in cash. What would you prefer? I'm like, yo, man, give me that $50.
Yeah.
And I'm not knocking the gift card.
Choose my own adventure.
It's just the cash is always, man, I can do whatever I want with that cash. Imagine.
So someone was asking about the expensive wedding. Were there hot moms at the wedding? That might make the $330 more palatable.
It wouldn't, though, to be honest with you. No, it wouldn't. I'd stand outside.
Something to look at?
Yeah, I mean, I could pay a lot less and see a lot just as good, you know.
Yeah, $330
is a lot. Well, 30,
do, 30, do you know what's even... You know what's even better than paying $330 at the door to go to a wedding is hearing from Mike McDaniel, the head coach of the Miami Dolphins. We're going to hear from Coach McD with Joe Rose when we come back. Got to hear this back, my friends, as we're heading into tonight, third and final preseason game for your Miami Dolphins. Here is Miami Dolphins head coach Mike McDaniel on with Joe.
Miami has the Dolphins.
It is time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Shop hundreds of Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan.
All right, Woody, thank you. And joining us right now is the head football coach for the Miami Dolphins, Mike McDaniel. Before taking off for Tampa Bay today, Coach, good morning. How you doing?
Hey, that's me.
It's you, Coach.
I'm Mike.
Yeah,
I'm doing great.
Hey, that's fantastic. Hey, Coach, man, a lot to get to, a lot of different things. Boy, the highs and lows of camp and guys healthy and looking good and injured and the whole thing. Before we get into all that stuff, the Tua turnaround in 4 years, in all my years with the organization, I've never seen from the day you were on the private plane coming out here to where he is right now and the way he's playing right now is the most unbelievable turnaround I've seen in this franchise. Have you been a little surprised from where it started to where it is right now?
Well, I think my intentionality from the beginning was, just to set a vision. But then it's a bunch of people working in concert that have to be very committed. And you hope people can realize their potential through focused and deliberate work. But you don't know until it's done. So I think it's really cool to see someone fully committed to being their best self. That's what I've watched. I've never put and won't put a ceiling on exceptional players such as Tua. And he surprises me, but doesn't surprise me with everything he does. I don't take it for granted, and appreciate everything that he does in a unique fashion, like totally taking ownership of his career, such like he has. But at the same time, I've learned working with him that the what I see right in front of me that day is a better version than the previous day, but isn't the complete version that I'll see next week or next month. So that's why you get into coaching, is to my job is to maximize the player's talent and to see guys improve and have really have success at what they love and what they've always loved and what's been their life commitment. It's why you do what you do.
Yeah. Hey, Coach. It's been amazing. And by the way, since he got the new contract, he's at a whole new level. I mean, I can't wait to see what this guy's going to look like when this thing starts up against Jacksonville here in a couple weeks. So, Coach, just when you kind of think we got things figured out here with that third wide receiver and then Odell's not back yet and River Craycraft, who's having this amazing camp, especially the last couple weeks, gets injured, throws you a little bit of a curveball. And then the other part that pops up is all of a sudden Eric Ezekama is playing out of his friggin' mind. So just, Coach, if you could talk, have you been surprised? Eric Ezekama, I keep saying surprised, has gone from we didn't know anything about him since basically his rookie year, and he comes out, he looked fast, he looked confident. I mean, he looked like a big-time receiver in this last preseason game.
Yeah, no, I think like you just alluded to, the surprise, I understand – the question, you're always hopeful that what you see on a day in day out basis it can be on display for everyone to see. And I know for us in house, Eric, it doesn't surprise us. It's more I'm happy how his game's coming together. I think timelines, if you absolute a player's process of development, you will quickly be proven incorrect at some sort of assumption. I think he's been very diligent and he wants to be great. And it's good to see him to get opportunities. That's why you you work so diligently, I guess, in concert with the pro department, and you know, Chris and I doing all the work that we do in the off season, and you know, Chris ultimately putting together a deep room. That's why you do it. You don't pretend to know what it's going to look like at the end. I don't. I know there's a lot of people that have depth charts. I don't have those just because, like, I'm not going to sit here and predetermine what people are. I'm going to allow them to define themselves. And, you know, there's different lineup changes. You know, I think that's one thing that, you know, our team is very resilient towards, you know, like we've had a ton of reps at, you know, going through different lineup changes in all three phases. And I think you understand that you kind of, as a collective team, you have to flourish in those types of situations because it's happening in one way, shape, or form to every team. There's a, you know, something I haven't got a chance to say. I'll just rip it right now. I'm not sure if anyone's noticed that there's a 100% injury rate in the National Football League.
Right.
Meaning every player at some point in their career gets hurt. Every team has different sort of injury issues, and no one cares. There's not an asterisk in the box score. So you have to find different ways collectively as a team to adjust. And one of the ways you adjust is you allow for someone to take advantage of the opportunity. And a guy like Eric sure did a good job of doing that just this last game. And you know, he probably has something in store for you. There's other guys that you're not thinking about that have something up their sleeve for you coming this whatever night it is, Friday night. So it's that's the cool part about these camps and year three of the program and having a lot of healthy competition that gets to be put in the limelight.
Coach, when I saw you signed Jonnu Smith, and we've seen him out there, such a unique athletic guy and motion and getting a handoff and all the things he can do in screens and yards after catch and all that stuff, I just thought, oh, Mike is going to turn into the mad scientist, he and his coaching staff for this one. How much fun, especially as camp has gone on, has it been for you to be when this tight end room has gotten so much better and he's a big reason why?
You know, it's coaches love when they're defined by good players. So if the turn the page on his addition is that collectively as a coaching staff, we're smarter, I think it's a win for everybody. But, you know, I think Jonnu, it was I was very excited. You know, that was a great high five moment of news when Chris let me know that we were close with agreeing to him, and when he came on his visit, you know, there was just a very like-minded intentionality for this season where, you know, he has, like many veterans, you have things that you know you're capable of doing. He saw, you know, our existing offense and thought correctly that he could help. And, you know, that the whole position, really, the tight end room is one of our strengths, I think, on our team. And that's because of the not just Jonnu's addition, but, you know, just the development of everyone is at their core. You know, Durham Smythe has really expanded our playbook by the things that he's able to do and how fast he can play as a football player. You know, and then Julian Hill, his development has been paramount, you know. And then there's, you know, Rucci and really the whole class. Tanner Connor had a good camp before he got hurt, and we should see some good stuff out of Jody Forson here soon. So there's a lot of competition, and that's one thing as a coach that I've learned. Sometimes the best coaching is competition.
Coach, I didn't know if it was possible. I feel like, and tell me if I'm wrong, that you got more depth, especially with this draft class looking the part here early. And I know it's just preseason, but, man, they look like they belong. And you can see some of them getting a chance to play early on here because of what they've been able to do at different positions on offense and defense, plus the veterans that you've added that can still play. Do you feel like potentially have more depth on this team?
Yeah, I think there was some roster turnover for sure, but in the process, you know, I think the orchestration of the organization between the personnel department and the coaching staff, you know, I think we're just continuing to get better and better and understanding different ways that we can improve and relentlessly approaching it that way. I think there's you know, it's been a cool process. You know, the team that we had and with the veterans that we were able to add that have been absolutely phenomenal. You talk about like Jordan Poyer and Clayus Campbell, and we've already talked about Janu and Jordan Brooks, and the list goes on. But with a roster that like that, that there's a lot of good players on it, I could be very candid with the rookie class from the first day they're in the building. And that was like, hey, your job is to win the trust and the favor of the veterans, because this team isn't going to have any patience for guys that need red shirts. Mm. So if you're trying to play on this team, earn the respect and regard from your veteran teammates, and if that's your focus, you'll be in a good position. And they've really, I've watched them take that to heart, and you know, just knowing the character of the veterans that we have on this team, you know, they have been absolutely paramount in developing these guys. You know, to be able to showcase their skills. You know, at this point in the season, they have, and it's and that process has to continue. You know, we're way far away from crowning anybody, but where they're at right now, rookies have it as difficult as anyone in the league, and I think our rookie class is doing a solid job of understanding what it takes to contribute on this team that's very competitive.
So, Coach, I got to ask, I know you get beat up with this question because I hear your sound bites every day, and I'm ready to do it again. So just go, Joe, shut up if you want. Mike White and Skylar Thompson.
I will not. I will not tell you to shut up.
Okay.
This is your radio show.
All right.
I can't carry the listeners. They don't like my voice. You got a radio voice. I don't. So you're going to have to keep
talking. All right. That's fair. How close is this backup quarterback competition here with the end of preseason coming up?
It's very close and competitive. You know, I think that's what happens when you have capable guys that have a lot of history within the system. And, you know, as a result, you know, as coaches, we've tried to really find different ways to give them the opportunity to be evaluated. And you know, I've been candid about how I've tried to create some difficult situations in that process, because I think they've exhibited on the NFL stage, whether it's in the regular season, such as Mike White has won football games in the regular season as a starter, and I believe in coming off the bench, And Skyler's done the same thing as rookie. And has played in playoff, has played well in a playoff game. And, you know, that those are good problems to have. So we've tried to get kind of creative in how to assess that. It's close neck and neck. That's why every day is important. And we aren't wasting one rep, not evaluating and not creating some sort of situation that can be evaluated so we can do the best thing for the team.
Coach, it looks like you really made it a priority on third and short, third and ones, third and twos to run inside the tackles a little bit, down on the goal line as well as in the middle of the field. I was shocked to see this number. Only 7 times in 17 games last year ended up running in between the tackles. Is that something you'd like to see and prove and be able to do more of and have success?
Well, Joe, here's the thing. Like, this, as soon as you think you have us pegged, we're going to throw you for a curveball. No, we're always working at getting good at stuff. And so when you get good at things or when you have different strengths or how people execute their jobs, you know, for me, and what we do, you know, from a coaching perspective here is we're constantly evolving toward the talent of the players. So, when, you know, guys, exhibit a lot of confidence and conviction and start getting, really adept at certain things, you can, your strengths change, and as a result, for me, play calls change, and I think you adapt to the strengths of your players, as well as you adjust to how defenses are defending you. So that will, I don't foresee us ever being copy paste versions of ourselves. We're always trying to get better. I think case in point, I can't remember at this point, I'm too deep in 2024, but I'm pretty sure the amount with which we ran the ball and how many yards we ran per carry, I think that changed from 22 to 23.
Yeah,
and
real big.
You're always trying to get better and evolving, and it was cool to get some of those opportunities, and it was awesome for guys to take advantage of those when they did.
So the other side of that is, and we, because, you know, media guys talk about this stuff, the outside zone run was so good, one of the best in the NFL. The others will say, wait a sec, that's what they do best. They got to figure it out. He knows how to do it. They block it great, and they got guys that know how to cut back and take advantage of it. So let's just keep that going and stop worrying about everything else with the numbers that that they put up last year. So
yeah, I'm into that.
Hey, I figure you would. I figure you like that part of it. It's pretty damn good.
I don't shy away. I understand the National Football League from both the coach perspective and very much the fan perspective. So, like, I get. Any talk, I appreciate. People want the Dolphins to do well. Specifically, our fan base is phenomenal, and I know from my perspective, before I was in coaching, when I was a fan, when things didn't work, I wanted answers. So that comes with the territory. There will always be things that we're trying to get good at, and when things don't work, you work to try to make them work in whatever way you can, because we know people won't comb the types of plays we're doing and who's doing them if they work. So collectively, as coaches and players, we just try to try to get that done for the fan base.
Hey, Mike, kind of a crazy one off the top. I love track and field, and I love the 100 meters, and this has nothing to do with Tyreek and the fastest man in the world. I don't care about that, but you got four guys on your team, I've never heard of this before, that have run either in high school or college 10 200 meter times or faster. I don't know. I've never heard of that before. But if those four guys were to race, any idea? I've asked some of the guys in the offseason doing events with some of your players about who they like and who would be the fastest and all those. Anthony Schwartz, the fourth guy, by the way, with two running backs and a wide receiver. Any idea who you'd like in a 40 or 50 to be the fastest, coach?
Here's the thing. Even if I knew the answer, I wouldn't say it, and here's why. Because I like our fast guys to try to prove to each other that they're the fastest. That's a collective win.
Yeah, I like it.
So, you know, if I hold my cards, even if I, whether I have cards or not, if I hold them tight to the vest,
right.
I think everybody benefits.
I love it. Coach, thank you, man. I really appreciate it. I'm not going to bother you for a year. I appreciate you coming on, Mike. Thank you.
Well, why not?
Okay.
What did I do to you?
Nothing. All right. We'll have you on again soon. Thank you very much. I'll see you in Tampa Bay, Coach. Thank you.
I can't wait.
All right.
Mike. I'll be the sweaty guy.
Okay.
All right.
That sounds good. Mike McDaniel, Fins head coach, joining us this morning and spending some time with us to go through some of the things with this team and the craziness of 100% everybody will get injured. That is a fact. Just everybody gets injured. Hopefully it's not serious.